Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond reading with you the Decatur Herald and Review, dated December 22nd, 2015. We'll begin with a headline on the first page. Decatur City Council approves 14.6% property tax increase. Ryan Voiles wrote the story. Jerry Dawson summed up the mood of the Decatur City Council moments before it voted on a significant raising of property taxes. Quote, "I think we'll all have to hold our nose as we vote for this tax increase," Dawson said. Despite their qualms, the council approved a proposal to set the property tax levy for the coming year at $13.5 million, a 14.6% increase over the previous year, Monday night during a special meeting. With the tax levy, the new one, the average owner of a $100,000 home would pay $52 extra, making their total bill from the city about $445. Based on an estimated 1.1% increase in property values, the property tax rate would be $1.63 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation. Council members Chris Funk, Lisa Gregory, Pat McDaniel, Dawson, and Mayor Julie Moore Wolf approved of the plan, with Councilman Bill Faber the only no vote. Councilwoman Dana Ray was absent from Monday's meeting. City officials have said for months that the measure is necessary after years without a significant property tax increase at the city's expenses, as the city's expenses have risen and other revenues, such as sales tax, stayed flat. But even with that said, council members did everything they could to express their disappointment about the vote. Quote, "Although I do understand the financial concerns of citizens in raising local property taxes, as a responsible local legislator who understands the financial situation that our local city government faces, I will reluctantly vote for the city's proposal increased property tax levies tonight," McDaniel said. Quote, "This property tax is probably overdue, and it's something that, unfortunately, I will support," Funk said. City manager Tim Gleason said the extra money would go toward the existing debt the city has from general obligation bonds, TIF district debts, and rising pension costs. Faber, as the lone no vote on the measure, continued his criticisms from the budget hearing earlier this month that the public has not been allowed a chance to join in the discussion. Quote, "The fact remains, in my view, we have not yet engaged enough with the public to help them understand why these raises are necessary," he said. Board members stressed during and after the meeting the increase was something they hoped would set the city on the right path, and that they would have to make their action would prevent another major tax hike down the road. In other business, the board gave the go-ahead to a planned $3.35 million project from Busey Bank affiliate FERS Tech to renovate property just south of Central Park. The proposed project will involve the demolition of the old drive-through and buildings on 254 East Main Street, and an interior and exterior remodeling of the buildings on 253 to 265 South Park, and the construction of a new drive-through at Busey Bank. The project, expected to retain 35 full-time jobs will receive 5 years of graduated property tax abatement from the city. The council also approved the development of a Holiday Inn and Express and attached restaurant on the north side of Interstate 72. Council members McDaniel and Faber voted against the measure, with McDaniel saying he could not support the city sharing half of the proceeds from the hotel use tax generated by the hotel for 5 years per the agreement. Faber added that he did not believe giving up tax dollars for hotel and restaurant businesses is economically feasible. But Moore Wolf noted that the board had already approved a significant tax increase and was not in a position to discourage new employment. Quote, "We cannot continue to turn away any kind of tax dollars, then turn around and say that we don't want to raise taxes," she said. "It's better than going to the taxpayers and sticking it to them." The headline of another article on the first page reads this way: "Flu hasn't hit area full force." It was written by Paul Swyk, a Lee News Service writer, and the dateline is Bloomington. The heat was on at the Westminster Village retirement community Friday, so Barbara Lundgren made sure the humidifier was running in her father's room. "When the nasal passages dry out, you're more prone to catching germs," she said, standing beside her father, Claude Bell, 94. In Westminster's Wellness Center, Wellness Director Molly Smeltzer used a disinfectant to clean off exercise equipment between sets by residents. "We also wiped down the walkers, wheelchairs, and handrails," Smeltzer said. "We're preventing the spread of germs." In the hallway, registered nurses Cindy Kistner and Sue Post pointed out hand sanitizing stations for staff, residents, and visitors. "This is their, the residents' home," said Post, Westminster Director of Quality and Staff Development. Quote, "We want them to live their lives, but we also want to protect them from getting ill." In the war against influenza, the front line is everywhere at your loved one's long-term care facility, the hospital where you're going to visit your neighbor, your home, workplace, grocery store, and even church. Flu can make a person sick for a couple of weeks, but there are steps that each of us can take to reduce our risk even during the next 2 weeks of Christmas and New Year's visits with families and friends. Flu season hasn't hit central Illinois yet, medical professionals agreed. Quote, "I'm pretty sure we're going to see the flu pop up any day now," said Alan Griffith of Advocate Broman Immediate Care in Normal. Quote, "Shortly after the holidays, we will see an increase as people get together," predicted Dr. Robert Sipple, a Bloomington-based lead physician for OSF Prompt Care Clinics. Flu season has been milder than the previous couple of years, when there were numerous diagnosed cases by mid-November. "So far in our clinics, we have had one positive flu test," Sipple said. "We already had 39 at this time last year." Griffith hasn't had any positive flu tests at his clinics. Advocate Broman Medical Center has had one diagnosed flu case this season, said Pam Bierbaum, coordinator of infection control. At OSF St. James John W. Albrecht Medical Center in Pontiac and at OSF Prompt Care Clinics throughout Livingston County, quote, "We have tested a few suspected flu cases and all came back negative," said infection preventionist Tina Barton. Testing is increasing elsewhere. A rising number of suspected cases is a precursor to more actual flu diagnoses, Bierbaum said. Quote, what we're seeing is sore throat, strep, and gastroenteritis, GI, Barton said. Quote, we're seeing a lot of other upper respiratory tract infections, Sipola said. A lot of people with cough and colds at this moment. Quote, we're seeing a lot of respiratory junk, Bierbaum said. Why flu season has been mild so far is unclear. One thought is that moderate temperatures mean some people are still spending time outdoors. When temperatures remain below freezing, people stay inside more, making it easier to pass germs. When furnaces kick on, dry air means drier nasal passages, which are more prone to infection. Steps that people can take anytime to reduce their chances of illness are to wash their hands thoroughly and frequently, use antibacterial gel when water and soap isn't available, cough and sneeze into your sleeve, use a humidifier, use disinfectant wipes to clean computer keyboards, telephones, and exercise equipment. Don't share food and drinks, get sufficient sleep, and stay home if you're sick, doctors and nurses said. And get a flu shot, Barton said. It's not too late. Here's a list of holiday precautions that people can take. If you have a fever, don't go to that holiday get-together and don't visit your loved one in the nursing home or hospital where people are more susceptible to flu complications. Call instead and celebrate the holidays with them when you're better. If you are mildly ill, the sniffles, for example, and you feel the visit is important, go but wear a mask and don't touch anyone. When visiting in a nursing home or hospital, use antibacterial gel before entering the room and after leaving the room. If you're hosting a holiday buffet, have antibacterial gel available for your guests and don't serve snack food in a communal bowl. When you're under the weather and people want to shake hands, explain that you're sick, decline the offer, and wave or bump elbows instead. This holds even at church. At the supermarket, use disinfectant wipes to clean grocery cart handles. Manage your stress. Give yourself a break if you need it. Justin Kahn, H&R staff writer, writes this article, which appears on the front page, Learning Center Making a Difference for Autistic Kids, and the dateline is PANA. Erica Matthews' voice rose above the din in a spacious, brightly colored dance studio full of 9 children running in circles and dancing. Let's go, Matthews commanded. Keep moving. Keep working. The activity in Matthews's AAMPAMT Learning Center often resembles a chaotic Zumba class. And in a way, it is. Matthews' program includes plenty of aerobic dancing, but that's only a small part of what makes Matthews' program unique to this area. Matthews' Autism and Movement Project, AAMP, uses dance, as in Joanne Lara's Autism Movement Therapy, AMT, but adds motor skill and sensory work to improve the cognitive ability, speech, and communication of children who are autistic or somewhere on the autistic spectrum. Matthews' program includes children as young as 2, but also benefits older children and even autistic adults. Children entering the program don't have to have a diagnosis of autism. It can help any child with behavioral or communication problems. The idea behind AMT is that dance triggers both use of both hemispheres of the brain, and repeating the movements establishes pathways that help in processing, storing, and retrieving information. Matthews admitted she was skeptical when she first heard of AMT, which she was introduced to through the Dragonflies program in Charleston in 2011. Matthews became interested in autism treatment when she met Connor Taylor, who had been diagnosed with mild autism at 2 years old. Up until 8 years old, Taylor had very little speech and many behavior problems, but that began to change while he attended Dragonflies. Quote, "I knew music could be a pathway for a lot of kids with special needs, but I was skeptical about this. I didn't understand how it could make kids talk," Matthew said. "But we noticed Connor was more calm after Dragonfly's class, so I bought the Aerobics DVD and we tried it. We started doing the DVD every day after school, and he was reluctant at first, but after about 2 weeks, it started to pay off. When he spoke his first sentence, that was my aha moment." From there, Matthew went to the AMT Center in Los Angeles and became certified and licensed. She opened her program in Pena in 2012. She began with 6 children and now has 67. Taylor's mom, Amanda Taylor, was one of Matthews' first clients, and now she's also an employee after becoming certified. Quote, "I was willing to try anything that would even help a little. We tried several different types of therapy, and they helped," Amanda said, "but nothing like this has helped." Quote, "From eye contact, talking in sentences, his social skills, we didn't used to be able to take him out and do anything because he'd have meltdowns. Now we can take him out and do activities." Sessions at AMT are typically 8 to 13 students. Matthews, Taylor, and volunteer aides guide participants through 60-minute classes that include dancing, aerobics, team-building games, sensory games, and circle time during which social interaction is stressed. Quote, "No two sessions are the same. We don't stick to the same routine because I love to mix things up and keep them on their toes," Matthew said. Bridget Heinrich of Pena is the mother of 2 participants in the program. She said Matthews, quote, "has a way with them. She's gifted." Matthews is supportive but tough. If a student loses focus or isn't putting in effort, Matthew corrects the behavior. "We push our kids outside their comfort zones," Matthews said. "We want them to become the best versions of themselves that they can be, and sometimes that takes a push." Heinrich began bringing her 5-year-old son, Cody, to AMT when he was 3. Now her 2-year-old son, Matthew, is a participant as well. "Cody wasn't diagnosed with anything," this is a quotation, but he was having some behavioral issues. And I'd heard about the program from my mom, Heinrich said. We thought we'd try it, and he took to it real good. He thrived. He was really having problems with speech. That's come a long way. He really speaks well now, and he's learned to follow directions. In addition to the dance studio in the front of the building that houses AMP-AMT, there's a computer lab and sensory playroom. There are also one-on-one sessions for children who need more intense therapy or are unable to be in a group. And there are sessions for older and higher functioning participants with faster paced dances, more complex motor skill and sensory work, and even job training. In addition to Connor, now 12, Amanda's 16-year-old son, Christian Taylor, has also been a part of AAMPAMT since it started and hopes soon to start an internship at either Just Brew It, a coffee shop in Pena, Roseland Theater, or the Pena News Palladium. Christian was diagnosed with a nonverbal learning disorder, which is now considered Asperger's syndrome. In addition to his own work at AMP, he recently began volunteering as an aide to help newer and younger participants. Quote, Erica has helped me a lot with social skills like eye contact and things like that, Christian said. And now she started this group up with some of the older kids and how to do job interviews. It's really helped me a lot. Matthews said there are some teachers in the Springfield School District who are AMT certified, but she's hoping to see it spread to other school districts around the state. Quote, I'd love to see them do it in the classrooms, Matthews said. It's good for every kid, not just special needs. It gets them up and moving around, strengthens their brain, and improves academics. It just makes sense. In another article of local interest, the headline is Student Wins Confidence Contest. This was written by Valerie Wells, and the dateline is Decatur. Tatiana Crow was once so shy she couldn't look anyone in the eye. Ask anyone at my school, the MacArthur High School senior said. They called me the shy girl. Then she found UAG, Illinois Jobs for America's Graduates. The national initiative seeks out high school students facing barriers to success, who are at risk for dropping out, and giving them the tools and confidence they need. It worked for Tatiana, who traveled to Washington, D.C. this month to compete in a national conference for JAG students and came home with first place for public speaking. She and fellow MacArthur student Isla Buck were two of only three Illinois students chosen to attend. Quote, that competition was against 900 other kids from all over the nation, and she took first place, said Laura Phelan, the president of JAG, based in Iowa. She's like the go big or go home story. She's an amazing young woman, and she's had quite a transformation. The specialists or instructors in JAG classes tell students that if they really want to change their lives, they have to have a plan for the future, and they have to give it 100%. Tatiana has definitely done that, Phelan said. She's met business leaders and legislators, and her goal is to become a lawyer. She's even open to considering an entrance into politics. At MacArthur, JAG is taught by Gail Bowman, and among their many activities, the students get involved in charitable events. JAG seeks to provide opportunities to give back and to the young, to their community. And encourages young people to talk about the things that hold them back so that they will be free of them. Quote, "We say that your secrets that you keep make you sick," Phelan said. "If you're able to tell those things that weigh you down, the minute you do, you're free and can move forward." Tatiana said that when she was announced as the winner, she screamed, and so did Ayala. Quote, "But then I realized that while I was getting good news, someone else was getting bad news, and I had to be mindful of that," Tatiana said. As happy as she is to have won, she wanted to apply the leadership and community spirit she's learned in JAG. We'll take a look now at some of the briefs from Central Illinois. Shelbyville has a new principal. Shane Schuricht was hired last week to be the new principal at Shelbyville High School. Schuricht, who is the principal at Mount Olive High School, will begin his new duties next school year. He replaces Rich Stewart, who will be the principal at Mattoon High School next fall. Schuricht, a former high school history teacher and football coach, has been at Mount Olive for 8 years, serving as both principal and athletic director. Here are some announcements about Christmas closings. Federal, state, county, city, and park district facilities, except Decatur Airport, will be closed Friday, December 25th, in observance of Christmas Day. Secretary of State driver service facilities will also be closed Thursday, December 24th. The Decatur Public Library will close at 4 p.m. Thursday and reopen Saturday, December 26th. Decatur Public Transit System buses will run as usual, except for Friday. Most post offices will close at noon Thursday and be closed Friday. Only Priority Mail Express will be delivered Friday. From Mattoon. Police made two arrests over the weekend on charges of possessing prescription medication without a prescription. Mattoon Police report said Scott D. Johnson, 42, of Mattoon, was arrested at 3:26 a.m. Saturday. He also was charged with domestic battery for allegedly striking a female. Trenton D. Morrison, 22, of Effingham was arrested on Sunday. An additional charge for him was retail theft for allegedly stealing merchandise from Walmart. He also had been wanted on an Effingham County warrant of arrest for possession of drug paraphernalia, according to police. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the December 22nd issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.